What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. We are joined on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and certainly the news, no surprise, but it was official today. Kellen Moore, new head coach of the Saints, and I'll get your thoughts. I know you've talked about it before. My thing is, a lot of people bring up the fact about him being a leader, but if you're the quarterback, man, ain't you the leader already? I mean, you know, you've done that on the field, and all eyes are on you. Now, one thing about pro football, college football, high school football, man, it's team dependent. I mean, you got everybody else got to make it work for you, but the leader there is the quarterback, and Kellen's been in that spot before.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he understands it. He gets it. And I think one of the cool things that's happened for Kellen Moore here is Kellen Moore really was known more as a passing guy. And he goes to Philadelphia, and Nick Sirianni, you know, says, well, that's not really how we're built. We're built. We got Saquon. We want to build it this way. And to have that kind of structure and have that change, and not that he didn't know how to run, and I'm not saying that, but that his offense was more dependent upon throwing the football. And so to watch that metamorphosis, to me, is so important. How do you, you know, create offensively, how do you create that great mixture, that great marriage between your run game and your play action game, and your play pass game, and how do you kind of, you know, bring that all together? And you know, this is probably why it's taken a while for him to get this opportunity. Like, those are things you have to learn, and you only learn those through experience. You know, there's a lot of people in the league that are like, oh man, I really want to run the ball better. A lot of O coordinators, I really want to run the ball better. But when push comes to shove, they don't. They can't wait to give up on the run game. And in that Super Bowl right there, I think it was one of my keys of the game, attempts. I talked about attempts a bunch on television, on different radio stations across America. Can you get Saquon Barkley 25-plus attempts? Can you get him 30 touches? And he averaged 2.3 yards a carry and still found his way to get 25 carries, six catches. And what that does for you from a protection standpoint, I mean, I guarantee you one thing, Patrick Mahomes would have liked to get 25 carries so he didn't get on it, you know, get hit in the mouth so many times. So, like, that's commitment. And most offensive coaches say they want to have that commitment, but they truly don't want to have that commitment. And that, to me, was – that's a great, that's a huge maturity process. That's just big time performance.
Mark, one of the things in that game which certainly jumped out was the dominance of the Eagles' defensive front, where you didn't have to blitz one time. They tsunamied the Chiefs' offensive line. It looked like they had six guys rushing on every play, and that was really only four. And what that does to the psyche of a quarterback, but having played offensive linemen, to see that sort of situation where a team is dominating you up front, you don't have a running game, didn't even try for the most part, and you know they play in Sikkim, and you got guys like Carter and Davis and Milton Williams, who I think is an unsung part of that defensive line, Josh Sweat, and they just keep coming at you. Mahomes had no shot in that game, zero, to make it work because you could not block. They, you know, basically falling seven in coverage and rushing four, but it looked like it was six or seven rushing instead of four on every play.
Yeah, they did it. The Philadelphia did a great job. Vic Fangio did a great job. It was one of my keys also was, you know, Vic Fangio's time in Denver and how many times as the head coach slash play caller he played in Kansas City and played against the Chiefs. Now, they didn't win any of those games, but man, they played them tight. And defensively, they weren't very talented, but they played them really well. Now you add that kind of understanding, that kind of game planning with great defensive players on all three levels. And I thought they did such a great job of marrying their defensive front to their back end. There were so many times where I'm watching them play that zone, but they're getting hands on receivers. Nobody's getting free releases. They're getting hands on receivers. They're riding receivers for that 5 yards, and then they're falling off into their zone spots. And by the time they did that, disrupting those quick throws, disrupting those routes, that pass rush was already there. And I will say this, you know, there's a lot of people that will make excuses for the coaching staff. Well, they couldn't run the ball. You know, they didn't get very many attempts. One of the things I heard is, well, they didn't convert any third downs, so they couldn't get their attempts. And I'm like, baloney. Hey, man, they were 3 of 11 converting third downs. You know what Philadelphia was? 3 of 12. They got their attempts. Hey, right. They weren't getting enough yards per carry. You know what Philly got from Saquon? 2.3 yards per carry. So don't tell me you can't do it. You didn't want to do it. That's not the way you wanted to win. So I thought Andy Reid did a horrible job of coaching. I thought he got completely outcoached in that particular game. And, boy, by the way, when a defense is just pinning their ears back and they are just coming upfield, then you start running plays inside trap and you get somebody in the ear hole. That's how you slow them down. Or you motion a tight end from wide all the way down and you crack on a defensive end where he's not looking. And you ear hole that son of a gun, and then you pitch the ball outside. You find different ways to attack them in the run game. And it was almost as though, hey, man, that's not how we want to win. We'll give you a couple of courtesy tries, but that's not what we're doing. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs got completely outclassed from a coaching standpoint.
Mark, one of the things, I talked to Richie Pettibone about this for years, about when you play in that big game, everybody sees it. And he said, boy, you better fix it because you know what? In that big stage, everybody's got peeping eyes. They've seen how you got attacked. I look at the Chiefs. They better rebuild that offensive line, and they better get a running back that can carry the load because you know what? Not everybody's got that defensive line and that defense of the Eagles, but they're going to try to attack you the exact same way. The exact same thing. I know Richie said, you know, how many times we would see it early in the season if how we ended the season wasn't right, that Joe Gibbs was great about, hey, we do certain things right, but we have to adjust to what went wrong in that big game because that's the last memory, the last film they have of us.
Yeah, you know, you go back to that Super Bowl 2020 against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, same thing. Right, they had three sacks, but they were constantly putting Patrick Mahomes under duress. And in that particular game, their linebackers were playing with such depth that they were inviting you to rush it for 5.5, 6.5, 7 yards of carry. And Andy Reid didn't want to run it then either. Yep. He just flat chose not to. And, you know, a little bit different scenario this time around. But again, I just know this. When you're getting just run through, from a pass rushing standpoint, so when you give up six sacks, hey, your offensive line stunk, but your coaching staff stunk. Your play calling stunk. And like, I know one thing, sometimes when they're really rushing the passer, you got to say, hey, man, we're going to make a commitment, and we're going to take the starch out of these fellas, right? We're going to get them on the ground. We're going to cut a few guys, get them on the ground. We're going to, you know, ear hole a few guys. We're going to do some stuff to slow these sons of guns down. And they never did. They just lined up and were satisfied with just giving up pass rush after pass rush after pass rush. It was a complete and total domination. And I will tell you this, man. You know, I mix it up on social media, and I get, I get under the skin a lot of youngsters, right, young fellas. And I do it all the time just because it entertains me. And I get called old head all the time. Oh, you're just an old head. Well, let me tell you, from what this old head, something that'll never go in and out of style. When you guys try to tell me, oh, the game's passed you by, you don't know what you're talking about, stink. Let me tell you what plays all the time. When you line up and whoop somebody's ass, I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care. You could have Stretch Armstrong playing quarterback for you. You whoop that ass on that line of scrimmage, guess what happens? You lose. You know, you get, you, if you're the one that's getting his ass whooped, you're going to lose. And that's exactly what Philly did, man. That was a beatdown of epic proportions.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareth are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or any other grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day delicious this football season. Charlie?
Mark, throughout the week at Radio Row, every Eagles reporter that we talked to, and even some Chiefs reporters, basically were echoing the same thing. Like, you know, the Chiefs have the quarterback, they have the head coach, but the Eagles have the roster. And Howie Roseman deserves as many flowers as possible for what he's done in the NFL draft in the last 5 years. He became the GM in 2019, but if you just look at the last 5 years and look at the draft picks the Eagles have had, they've hit on so many premium picks. It's not a shock that their roster is as loaded as it is with young talent. Like, everyone kind of goofs on the Jalen Reagor pick with Justin Jefferson and everything like that, that happened in 2020. Right. But outside of that second round pick that year, Jalen Hurts. The year after, Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Milton Williams, all contributors. The year after that, yeah. Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, N'Kobe Dean. The year after that, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. The year after that, they had a terrible defensive back room last year. Oh, they just go and pick Quinyon Mitchell in the first round and Cooper DeJean in the second round, and now they have the best defense in football. The job that Howie Roseman has done can't be understated, and how he built this roster, which is loaded from top to bottom at every position. It is impossible to do mock drafts for the Eagles because you're just like, what do they need? Because he's drafted so well in the past 5 years.
Man, put an SEC guy in there. Because other than last year's draft, he
loves his Georgia boys.
It's almost like Georgia East with all the Georgia players he got. But those guys, he understands. They understand about winning, and they're well coached.
Well, there's no question. The other thing that happens to most teams, guys, and you've seen this, when you have a position of strength and you're constantly chasing other positions, you know, and you're missing on those positions, so you're chasing wide receivers or you're chasing, you know, whatever the position is you're missing, what you're doing is you're neglecting adding depth to your team because you keep on missing and keep on chasing positions. And that's something that Howie Roseman hasn't done. He hasn't missed many times. And so when you have that hit rate, you know, you can look at a position of strength, and I'll give you an example. You know, when they drafted Cam Jurgens, Jason Kelce was still kicking ass. He was still awesome. And they drafted him anyway. They developed him. They played him at guard for a while. And they knew, hey, man, this is going to be our next center. I remember watching a preseason game when he was a rookie going, damn, they got another outstanding center. And sure enough, you know, 2-3 years later, Jason Kelce retires, gets into, you know, his podcast and doing the ESPN stuff. Cam Jurgens moves right back over to center, and they're on lockdown. So they've got the strongest offensive line, the best offensive line in football, and they said, you know what? We're just going to continue to add to it and develop it. And they've done that, man. I remember in the NFC Championship game, I think Juergens is out, and Landon Dickerson moves over to left from left guard to center, and another left guard comes in as a backup. I don't even know what the guy's name is. And I'm watching him. I'm going, dude is dispensing justice. He's kicking ass. And then Landon Dickerson gets hurt, and so Cam Juergens goes back in. Like, it's like what they have done and the way they have continued to draft guys, you know, not because they need them, but because they want them. Man, I tell you what a job. I'm 100% with you. That dude has just done a phenomenal job when it comes to drafting and building his team.
Mark, we've seen this with other guys before, but Mekhi Becton, okay, early first-round pick, had some injuries with the Jets. He was considered a major bust. Leaves there. He's never played guard before. Never. In his entire life. All of a sudden, he goes with the Eagles, and he got some coaching and some really good coaching because I think Coach Jeff is he may be the best offensive line coach in pro football today. And look how dominant he was for them this year. Now, again, he's a free agent. And so, you know, you're going to have to make a choice here of do you play Mekhi? Do you play a Milton Williams? Do you play a Zach Bond? Because you got some high-priced guys on that team already, but you've drafted so well. You got to take your pick here. But the Mekhi Becton story, because I know you watch a lot of offensive line play.
Yeah, he's like what he's done is incredible, and Stoutland is amazing. And it reminds me of a story back when I was working at ESPN, and the Arizona Cardinals took a guy by the name of Leonard Davis out of Texas. You might remember him, 6'8", 365, 370 pounds. The dude was just unbelievable. And he was like a turnstile tackle position, man, just getting run over, run through, run around. And he was really bad. And I remember, you know, being really critical on TV. And then I'm at the Super Bowl, at a Super Bowl party. And, you know, I mean, I'm long since retired and I'd lost a bunch of weight. I was only like 225. And here he comes storming across the party. I see him from the distance and he's beelining to me. I'm like, oh, shoot. I might get my ass kicked. he looked mad. I was like, uh-oh. And he comes throwing over to me. And to his credit, he goes, he was a free agent. He goes, listen, man, you've ridden me hard on television. You've been very critical. He goes, what do I need to do? And I said, let me tell you something, Leonard. I go, you're too big to play tackle. And no offense, but you're just not quick-footed enough. I go, but if you slide into guard, if I were you, I would tell my agent, there is no way you're going to play tackle. You just want to play guard. You want to move somewhere and play guard. Dallas signs him to be a guard, and he goes to like four straight Pro Bowls and is all pro. And you know, not that I had anything to do with it, but it was just like, dude, you're out of position. And here, you know, he's a bust. Mekhi Becton's a bust with the Jets. And what do they do? The bus with the Jets, and they say, hey, man, we're going to move you inside, and we're going to coach you. And, you know, Jeff Stoutland, who's the best in the business, he says, I'm going to coach you. And that dude, I mean, that dude has been great for them. And I'm just, I mean, I couldn't be happier for that guy, you know, because there's so many times that's how you're a bust, and that's how your career ends. Because you're in the wrong position, you're in the wrong spot, you're not getting the right coaching. And to find it and to have the success that he had, man, I just couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, he's done a just absolutely tremendous job. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, bud. Great stuff.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
All righty. That was NFL Odyssey Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.